Morning. Happy Saturday. Let's come on into the room. And if you'll give me a thumbs up that you can hear me okay, I would appreciate it. Awesome. Thank you. Let's do the little admin stuff here first. I'll get my name changed while everybody's coming in. Good morning. I am Coach Kathy. I've been around OBS for a long time, y'all. Been around a long time. And I am definitely one of you, one of these 65, 55 plus. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Hello. All right. If you would like to be coached today, it is open coaching. All you have to do is raise your hand. I just ask that you are a member of the 55 plus subgroup, so that we can talk things, coach things that are unique to you. While we're waiting for everyone to come in, I wanted to share something with you all. I wanted to share something that came out of a call earlier this week, which I did about how to feel feelings and not eat. And we talked a lot on that call about pause plus permission. And I think this is a really, really good topic for everyone, not just 55 plusers, but for everyone. Because what that means, pause plus permission, is that you have an urge to do something you may or may not really want to do, that you know what is not in your best interest, like an urge to eat, an urge to binge, an urge to have a drink that you haven't planned. And sometimes those urges are caused by, stressors in life. Sometimes they're caused by habit, whatever it is. But if you decide to give yourself, use this tool, pause plus permission, I want to nuance it for you a little bit. In that pause, in that 5 to 10 minutes that you take to see if the urge will pass through before you give yourself permission to eat, I don't want you to just sit there and feel the urge. I want you to give yourself an act of kindness, something that will help settle your nervous system if you're agitated, or settle your nervous system if you're sad. I want you to do something that is a form of self-care. Okay. So on this call, I was talking with a member who always eats after the kids go to bed. And instead of eating, she decided to try to take a shower. Just a warm shower. Not a big deal. Not a clean shower, not a get yourself clean shower, just an act of being in the enclosed area with the warmth of the water and the rhythmic, the rhythm of the water hitting her skin. And she said she couldn't believe how calming it was. In fact, there was something somebody else, and Ask Coaches, and I want to read this to you because it was just so eye-opening to me. She says, the Ask Coaches caller said, member said, "No BS talks a lot about creating space, and I always had assumed that meant distracting yourself with TV or computer or just something to do so you didn't eat or binge at night. But it never really spoke to me. And it was just a unicorn to chase until last night." So she's talking about using pause plus permission, right? She goes on to say, "For some reason, when you were talking about creating space and suggested taking a shower, not a go clean yourself shower, just a simple go stand up under the hot water and unwind type of shower, it pretty much punched me in the face. Huge aha moment." And this is what I want you all to hear. It translated creating a space into the act of physically doing something simple in order to break your routine, while at the same time offering self-care, comfort, and relaxation. It made me realize that I am not hungry for food at night. I'm hungry for the act of being comforted and cared for, which is something that watching Netflix can't give me. So after the call ended, I took a shower and went to bed, and I didn't eat, and it was glorious. And I repeated it tonight and changed my coming home routine, and it was still glorious." This is what we're talking about. In that pause, you are settling your nervous system. You're creating a place where your brain and your body feel safe. And y'all, this is what we're going to do a lot of at the Diet Culture Detox, too. We're going to come up with those ideas that help you maintain a regulated nervous system so that you're not running to the pantry to regulate. Okay. So I just want to just open the call with that because I just thought it was just so good. So amazing that she was able to find that place for her. Now, it might not be a shower for you. It might be something else. For me, I can tell you 100% for me, it's a walk outside. There's something about being outside in the sunshine with the birds and all the things that makes me feel grounded, makes me feel good about where I am. All right, let's coach. So I have one person with their hand raised. Go call her up. Kathy, that's you. If anybody else wants to be coached today, please get in there, raise your hand. We've got an hour together, so let's use it. Let's use it. All right, Kathy, here you go.
And unmute. Hey,
Hello, how are you?
how are you?
I'm good.
Okay, does it need to be about a specific subject or can it be?
Nope.
Okay,
Whatever
great.
you want coaching on, girl. Let's do it.
Okay, so I got on a coaching call about 2 months ago with Coach Christy because I was just so close to my goal, I could taste it. And I've been here a hot minute, 4-ish years, 4.5 years. And so she like gave me a few things, which one sounded easiest or best, most comfortable for me to try to just go down 5 more pounds, not go the whole 15 that I was wanting to do. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, I can do that. And I think I know what you're going to say. I immediately like big time rebelled, big time. And so not only did I not go down those 5 pounds, but I went up about 8. And now I'm like, I'm trying not to freak out about that. I mean, I'm not. I listened to Coach MJ a few weeks ago talk about, I'm up 10. I need to, but I find myself kind of doing the desperate things that I did in 2019 and 2020, Like, I'm not losing. Something's wrong. I've got to restrict. So just talk me off the ledge. I know I can. I know I'm so close, and I don't know what this is, but
Tell me what you decided to do that you rebelled against first. What was that? What was the action that you
well,
took?
it was nothing. It was like, can you just. The main one was I had a little sweet every evening, not a big giant whatever, but just like a handful of chocolate chips or a couple of cookies or whatever I had around that was just like a little sweet, like I'm just here's my little thing, And it was like she goes, "Can you just get that up for 30 days and see what happens?" And I said, "Yeah, I can do that." That would be I would think that would be enough to start losing again because I had been maintaining like at 160. So I started at 245. I'd been maintaining at 160 for months and easily, like not even really kind of phoning it in plan wise and everything. Still doing my plan with my group and everything, but yeah. And so it was like, can you just do that? And Kathy, I just went nuts. I mean,
Okay,
it was
so
like I was standing in the pantry again. I hadn't done that forever. I was like just walking around my kitchen. I was doing all the stupid stuff I did like in 2020.
all right. So first of all, y'all, we've got to take that, Kathy. It
Yeah.
wasn't stupid. It wasn't this.
Well,
Stop. Let we got to rip off. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off the judgment. Okay, we're throwing that away.
was
This is what I
okay.
did. Okay, it's neutral. Okay,
Right.
I talked to Christy. We decided. Can I just give these up for 30 days? I ate. Okay, so
Yeah. I did. Yeah.
All
Yeah.
right. So you said in something interesting in the beginning. You said you rebelled against this new plan. Okay.
Yes.
So rebellious is a feeling, right?
It is a feeling.
Okay. Why do you think you rebelled against the new plan?
I don't, the only thing I could think of, and I've kind of dissected this a little bit, like in my journaling, kind of with my accountability partners. And it's like, am I doing that because that's ridiculous to give up a little sweet? And is the reason why I was no longer losing and just maintaining because it wasn't just that little bit of sweet in the evening? It was, not leaving bites or maybe overeating at meals, or was it something else? And so was I thinking, well, this is ridiculous to say I have to give that one little thing up to start losing again. It just felt like I don't want to do that. And we did talk about that too. It was like I kind of was to the point where, I love my life. I love my lifestyle. I have lost 85 pounds and kept it off for 4.5 years. And, all of that. I mean, I'm active. I walk. I'm in size 12 clothes. I'm in normal size clothes. I'm act and I just turned 68 and I can do anything I want. And yeah. So I don't know what it is really.
So
I don't know.
okay, so this is interesting to me. I'm always interested. I'm always
Yes,
curious, right?
you are.
You said you love the lifestyle you're living now,
I do, yeah.
right?
But I haven't loved it for a couple of months now. Like I was going to jump back on her call a month later and say, oh, and I lost 5 more pounds and yay and thank you. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, I can't get on that call. I've gained
So
8 pounds.
what's the difference between, why didn't you love it before and you love it now?
Well,
The
no,
justification to
I
eat
loved it.
the
I
dessert?
loved it before. I think, well, here's part of it
Okay.
is I was determined to get to that 100-pound mark, which was 15 pounds. And I felt amazing when I weighed 160. Like I felt like, woo, girl. And so I thought, I'm not going to know if I need to lose that last 15 pounds unless I lose that last 15 pounds and then just maybe say, yeah, no, that's too much. I'm not going to know. And so but I felt amazing at 160. I do feel like maybe, I mean, I'm very aware physically of this extra 8 pounds now. I mean, it's not that I don't feel amazing. I'm still walking, I'm still doing all the things, but I felt the best at 160. And so maybe it was that whole, you don't need to lose anymore. Why are you trying to lose that? And I don't know. I want the statue. Isn't that stupid? I want the statue.
Not stupid. It's not
Oh,
stupid.
well, anyway. So I don't know. I mean, I
But
still
for
love my
everyone on this
life.
call, I'm going to tag you when you say things like ridiculous and stupid, because that's a judgment that we don't, I mean, we don't, we want to spend time coaching on, this, why you didn't execute this plan, not on whether or not you think something is ridiculous and stupid.
So there's
Okay, so.
here's the last little caveat
Okay.
to everything. So I'm a big jump into the science of everything and dissect it because I did this for my health. I've had cancer, been there, done that, don't want to do that again. Have had bad knees, don't want to, I know. I know. Oh my gosh, girl. I know. I've been praying so hard for you because I'm like, oh, bless her heart. I know. I've already had one surgery on a knee and I don't want to have the other, So anyway, I'm really doing this for my health at my age. I mean, I'm not going to be, a model or anything at this point in time. I just want to be healthy. And so I've read some books about intermittent fasting. So then I was like, well, maybe that's what I need to do. So now I'm trying to jump into intermittent fasting, which is scientifically, there's a lot of benefit, especially for cancer, like not wanting that again. There's a lot, and I'm doing it reading with doctors. So now I'm trying to do that, which even feels more restrictive. So I don't think that's the answer either. I think, but I'm like doing all those desperate, dumb things that I did at the beginning of this, like this can't possibly work. And I just, because I've restricted, dieted, and failed my entire adult
Why
life.
are you doing the desperate dumb things? And there's that dumb word, by the way.
Well, and I, intermittent fasting is not desperate and it's not
Why?
dumb,
Why are
but
you looking for all those
because
little
I
things?
just want to be, I want to get to a goal that, or, I want to get to the end and then just maintain and be proud and be comfortable and be healthy. That's what I want to
Okay.
do. And I think maybe now
So
I'm beginning to think I
that's
was
not
there.
why. That's not why you're doing the desperate things. We all
No, I'm
want to get
trying
to
to
the
get.
end.
I'm trying to get back down to the 160 to that's what I'm trying to do is get back
But
to the
why aren't you?
160.
Okay. So why are
Yeah.
you pulling the desperate things instead of just working the program?
I don't know. I don't know. And I am working the program. I mean, I'm really working the program, honestly.
But
I
this
do
is.
plan every day and I'm doing all of the things that I always did and assessing and all of that. But
This is
it's
what I
just
see.
I'm not trusting I can get back down there, you know.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Probably what happened is the 8 pound, we got a couple of stages of things, okay? But the 8 pound gain, after the call with Christy, when you decided to do the level up, the 8 pound gain stressed you out, freaked you out. Nervous system was hot, agitated. What does it do? So many of us with these old diets, this old diet trauma, nervous system gets agitated. The first thing we do is we go into the Googles and we find the next best thing, intermittent fasting. I have to exercise my face off. I have to do this. I have to do that. When actually, if we calm ourselves down, we can reground ourselves in the No BS program that worked to begin with, that got you to 60.
Because I didn't do anything nuts with that other than track and all of
Right.
those
So
no
notice
BS stuff.
that first. Notice that urge and evaluate that urge and bring yourself back into home base and say, you know what? No, this is not. I see the urge. That's not really what I want to do. I'm going to take a pause and I'm going to reground myself in no BS, in the four basics, in figuring that out. That's the first thing. The second thing is when it comes to giving up your nighttime dessert for 30 days, that is a very noble thing to try and do, right? Doesn't sound like you were ready.
Yeah,
That
maybe not.
right. So instead of making this big, huge leap into this 30-day restriction after dinner suite that you probably give me a, you said how old did you say you were supposed to be?
60, I just turned 68 in
How
May.
many years? How many years have you been having an after dinner suite?
Oh, Lord.
68.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
Okay.
all my adult life for sure. Probably when I
Right.
was a kid too. Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking at least 40, 50 years, something like that. The expectation that you're going to be able to drop that without a fight in your head for 30 days, to me, might be a little much. I could be wrong. What does it feel when you think I have to drop that dessert for 30 days straight. I can't have dessert after dinner for 30 days straight. What does your body feel like?
Just like, well, of course you do. Crap.
Right? Do
I
you
mean,
get all tensed up? Do you get,
right.
yeah, you immediately go, oh, really? Is it
And
right?
it wasn't like what I used to do where I'd eat a sleeve of Oreos or whatever that I found out with the fucking foods worksheet that I don't even like those. So, it wasn't that. It was like, three or four Hershey's Kisses or, a little palm full
Yeah,
of chips
it
or
doesn't matter. That habit still exists. That sweet habit. Yeah, I have it too. I do two Dove dark chocolates after dinner. Okay. And I've worked it into my plan. I eat them until satisfied. No big deal. But I'm going to tell you, if I decided not to eat those two Dove dark chocolates, I would But my brain would say, wait, something's wrong here. Are you sure? Are you sure this is not right? Are you sure this is what we're doing? You know, that habit gets disrupted and your primal brain gets a little nervous. Okay.
Right.
So if you want to work on a sweet after dinner, here's what I suggest. Tell yourself next week you can do it 5 times. Then
Okay.
next week, and then watch yourself those other 2 days and journal and tell yourself it's okay. We're just giving this a shot. We're just trying this out to see what it feels like.
Okay.
You can do that, or you can do pause plus permission, like I was talking about. I'm gonna sit with this urge for about 10 minutes, and I'm gonna do something else for myself in that 10 minutes to see if the urge will pass through.
Right.
Okay.
And the thing is, the whole urge thing, that might be the biggest thing I've learned in 4 years, is that it's just a little flush of dopamine that if you just breathe through that, it's gone in 90 seconds. I am not giving it 90 seconds. I am giving it like nothing. I'm just immediately acting almost without thinking anymore. Not just about, so now it's not just the sweets at night because I had it in my plan. It's everything. I'm doing this like all day long. As soon as my eating window open, which might be another issue, but as soon as that opens and I eat a meal, from that point on, it's like all I'm thinking about is food for the next 6 hours. And that's not working for me. That's not good. I think I'm throwing the intermittent fasting out for a while at least.
Well, the focus let's just be honest, with intermittent fasting, if that's your thing, it's fine. I'm not going to tell anybody not to do it, but
Right.
you fast anyway. I mean,
Right.
I fast. When I finish dinner at night, I don't eat again until breakfast the next morning. That's a fast.
And that's what I
But what the
did.
intermittent fasting does is it tells your brain we are not eating for this amount of time.
Right.
It doesn't tell your brain we're eating during this period of time. So the focus becomes on when you can't eat,
Can't
when
eat.
you choose not to eat, and that creates all that garbage
Right.
in
And
your
then I'm
head.
just
When
pulling.
you, yeah.
Yeah. I'm struggling with overwhelming thoughts,
So
during my window. So, yeah.
here's what I want you to do. I want you to get in a journal and I want you to look at all the things you were doing successfully a couple of months ago to maintain 160.
Okay.
And I want you to reenact those things. I want you to revisit it in the past because that's what we have journals for. It's what we have planners for, y'all.
Right. Right.
As we go back and we say, okay, this apparently was very doable for me. I'm going to recreate that now. I'm going to pull these 8 pounds off. And then I'm going to decide about the next 15.
Okay.
If you want to work on this after dinner suite, that's perfect. But do it in doable, easy level up steps. Okay,
Right.
if your brain's going to freak out if you take it out for 30 days, don't take it out for 30 days. Take it out for, 1 day or 2 days, or pause and permission it or something like that. Okay.
Okay.
Somebody said in the chat, my urges don't burn off in 90 seconds. I want to address that real quick. Sometimes they don't. Okay. The difference becomes if you allow the urge to be there. And you don't stress over it, and you don't think about it 100 times, and you don't resist it, and you don't wish it wasn't there, and all that kind of stuff, it will burn off in a short period of time, 90 seconds, 120 seconds, 5 minutes, something like that. But if you are stressing over that urge, you are amplifying it. You're giving it all the attention. You're saying, I don't want this. This shouldn't be here. You're fighting against it. It becomes very prominent in your attention. Therefore, it will not burn off. Okay. That's
Right.
the difference between allowing an urge and resisting an urge. And I think it's really important to remember
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. And
Okay.
I think that's what's happening during that eating window. It's like I'm just resisting. I don't know. It's just all I'm focusing on is food. And then when my window closes, it's like, well, now I can't have the I've got to be done. I can't have the sweets. I can't have the, yeah, I don't
Just
know.
remember, what you focus on expands. So if you're putting your focus into something that you don't want to expand, you got to change your focus. But you can also use that tool to put your focus on something you do want to create, you do want to expand. And that makes it even more a more useful tool. Okay, you
Okay.
got a plan?
Thanks, girl.
You're
Appreciate it.
welcome. You're welcome. You know what? I would love for you to make a decision about what you're going to do with these sweets and post in the Facebook group and let us know what your plan is. Okay?
Okay. I'll do
All
that.
right.
My plus. Thanks.
Okay. See
Bye.
ya. Bye.
Bye. How do I stop video?
All right. Good. Let's check the chat real quick. Everything okay? Yeah, I don't have a moderator, y'all, so make sure you're behaving yourself. All right, Carolyn, you're next. Carolyn declined. Okay. Zoom user, I think I saw something in the chat. I want to make sure I know that this is an actual person. Diane, is that you? Let's hope that's you. Oh, I got a thumbs up. Awesome, Diane. You're coming up, girl. Diane, it looks like you declined as well. Did you mean to do that? Let's try one more time. You'll make sure if your hand is raised. Okay, she's declined again. Look down at the bottom. If your hand is raised and you don't want to be coached, please put your hand down so we can just move on to the next person. Okay. Terry, you're next. Terry's coming. All right.
There we go.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy. My question is, I've been going to a counselor for a while, and I talked to you and asked coaches about some stuff. I had to switch because my lady quit, and my new counselor had to, I guess by her licensing, she had to tell me a diagnosis. So my diagnosis is complex PTSD, and so there's eating is a comfort, I think. But what I feel like now that I know a little bit about it, I feel like I have a plan in place to help me, which is awesome. But I feel like no BS starts kind of at the 40-yard line, and I'm back kind of at the 10. And so I don't exactly know how to implement some of the stuff. Like I have a real struggle with like the journaling and the thought work, and I wonder if it's because of some of those things. Does that make sense? I just don't know what to do exactly to feel successful.
Tell me more about no BS starts on the 40-yard line and you're back on the 10. Tell me what that means to you. I want to understand that.
Well, I'm good at the task part, so I'm good at like making a plan, following the plan, assessing the plan. I haven't really seen success on the scale. And that makes me frustrated and makes me jealous of other people. And it makes me feel like I'm a failure and I won't be able to do this at all. And that's now. I know that partially it's an inner critic barking at me, and that I have decreased my amount of food a lot. But I do feel like I'm legit hungry, but I'm still not losing any weight. So I just don't
Okay.
know what to do about it.
So, do you hold a lot of stress in your body?
I guess I do.
Yeah. Do you have do you find your body nice and tense a lot or just some?
Yeah, I was listening to this last lady and rolling my legs out because I just lifted weights and stuff. But yeah, all of a sudden I finally got a book that's like, oh, because I had all these diffuse things and I felt like I was kind of playing whack-a-mole. And now it's more getting more defined. And so it almost is like a freedom of like, oh, it's not me that's wrong. It's something what's done to me that was wrong.
That's yeah, that probably refers to the trauma that set up the CPTSD. I always get those.
Like, I don't really want to have it, but it explains a lot of.
Right, right. When I can totally relate to that. When I did the nervous system training, I was like, oh, that's why I react that way. Oh, wait, I get it now. You know, when you start to study your own reactions to things and you can normalize them, then it's almost like the temperature comes down. It's not, normalizing doesn't create behavior change, but what it does do is it creates a feeling of, I'm not broken. Oh, this is, I understand myself now, right? Is that what you've kind of experienced?
Well, I just
more of an understanding.
Recently, I mean, like I said, it was the whack-a-mole thing. And so I always thought I had panic attacks and all the things. And now I'm like finding out that was just my body's way of screaming for help. And I didn't know that. So anyway.
Yeah, when you're way above home base and you're stuck there, your brain, your primal brain, your survival brain will start sending up, this is what we need to do to regulate. This is what we need to do to regulate. And a lot of times it's eat, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's drink. A lot of times it's, you know, hide, you know, whatever it is that your brain has associated with comfort and relief for you is what it's going to send up. And that's probably where you're hitting the whack-a-moles. Is because a lot of times when the habit brain, that survival brain, is not going to throw up things like, oh, Terry, we should take a hot shower, or, oh, Terry, we should go for a walk, or, oh, Terry, it's not going to think of those things because those aren't the things that we have integrated over time. It's going to pull out of the habit.
Like this other gal before, like to sit with an urge. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like even yesterday, I had to go to my Pilates class and I left in my car and I realized I was a little hungry, but I didn't have a snack along and it felt panicky. And then when I got there and then my mind got occupied with it, I realized I came home. I was like, oh, you did it. But I mean, it's so tiny like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes an unmet urge. Our brain doesn't understand an unmet urge, especially if the habit is like really ingrained. It's really well practiced.
Okay.
So the brain doesn't understand it initially. We've always eaten, Terry. Why aren't we eating now? So it kind of spikes up that, you know, energy a little bit.
Yeah.
But then with the self-care or the distraction or the pause or the allowance of the feeling to be there, the nervous system comes back on down.
Okay.
Okay. So
work on like what I feel like is do my best and work on the nervous system part.
Yeah, I would keep talking to that counselor of yours so that I guess they're a therapist, right? Because they have given you a diagnosis. See if they can help you understand the trigger, what triggers you when your nervous system flares so that you can manage that trigger. So okay. I'll give you an example. I have a client who how do I talk about this without giving away too much? Who experienced a big trauma in her young adult life. And it took her a long time to identify what triggers the memories of that trauma now. Okay. But now she knows what those are. And it's simple things like a phone ringing or blue skies or, you know, a plane flying overhead or something will trigger the memory, which takes her back and she relives that experience and relives all those emotions. And when she does that, she doesn't feel safe. Okay.
Yeah. Or like, emotional and parental stuff. So it was from when I was very, very tiny. So yeah, like,
yeah,
phone ringing sometimes, crosswords, the disagreement, all that kind of stuff.
Right. It can be very innocuous things that you wouldn't expect that trigger that kind of response in you. So your job now today is to know those triggers and to understand your nervous system enough so that you can experience the trigger and create the safety. So what I always do with my private clients when I'm working with them on this is I tell them, and so this is what I would start with you, is what I tell them is write down, think about as you go through your day, what do you do that creates a sense of relief? Okay. Obviously, number one for everyone is eat. So we're going to take that one off the table and go down to number two. For me, when I get super stressed out or super worried about something, it's always sunshine. It's like I mentioned before, I can walk outside on my deck for 2 or 3 minutes and take a couple of deep breaths and my nervous system will come down. So I can give you 5 places to start, but what I want you doing is thinking about how do you create relief inherently? Because it's always going to be what you automatically do that's going to make the most impact initially. Okay. So the 5 places to look, the 5 places to start are sunshine, movement, nutrition, sleep. I always forget the fifth, y'all. It's the 5. Hang on. Right here. What's the other one, y'all? I've said it so many times. Connection. Oh my gosh, connection, the biggest one. And that connection would be talking to your counselor, getting a coach, talking to your accountability group, calling a friend. Who is it you can talk to that doesn't mind just a verbal dump and a feel better from Terry? That's your connection piece. Okay. Those are 5 core pillars of a balanced nervous system, balanced well-being. Let's try them again. Somebody asked me to repeat them. You ready? Connection, nutrition, you know, eating, y'all, you can eat chicken tenders and French fries every meal if you want to. Not a problem. You can lose weight doing that if you eat them hungry to enough, but your body really likes fruits and vegetables. You know, bring in those vitamin Bs, vitamin Ds, and all that kind of stuff. Your body likes it. So we've got connection, we've got nutrition, we've got sleep, got movement, and we've got sunshine. Okay. Now, connection can be connection with others, connection with yourself, understanding yourself, connection with a higher power, like if you're a church-going person or a universe person, and connection with nature.
Oh.
Is that too much? I give you too much to start with?
No. I love it.
I'll sum it back up, though. Everything starts with safety. You will make the best decisions for you if you are at home base and you are feeling safe inside your body.
Yeah, this counselor said that we, like, my little window of safety is like a little clerestory window and I need to grow it bigger. So.
Yes, my nervous system teacher told us that our job as coaches is to help you all expand your zone of safety, to put more feelings into your zone of safety. Yeah.
Okay.
Completely agree 100% with your counsel.
Okay.
Does that help? Well,
yep. I'll get from the 10 to the 40 with this calming down things, I think. So
you very well might come to the how to feel the hard stuff without eating calls that I do each month. I actually just did one this past week. So it'll be July, and see what kind of, cause I talk a lot about the nervous system on those calls.
Okay.
I think that would be super helpful. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Is this correct? Connection, nutrition, movement, sunshine, sleep. Yes, you got it. You got it. Yes, the nervous system calls are recorded. They're called How to Feel the Hard Stuff Without Eating. Joy. Let's see if there are any other questions. Connection to self, yes. Connection to self is pretty important. That comes with your journaling. It comes with understanding yourself. It comes with accepting yourself, a little bit of self-love. Okay. All right. Let's do one more. Karen Brent. Let's talk to you. I don't think I've coached you in a very long time.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yes, how are you?
I am doing good. I'm working doing the personal coaching with Christy, and came out with a big aha this week, and it's something she told me needs practice, and I'm trying to find my inner voice with it and struggling, and I realized I want your voice.
My voice?
I'm... Okay, what I discovered is I am not good at validating my own worth. I use other people's opinions over my own. And my inner voice is very loud, very argumentative. I've been trying to find the calm, nurturing voice. MJ has helped me. But I'm still struggling.
Okay. So a lot of times this takes a little bit of a, like a stepping stone thought. Did you happen to do virtual camp?
Yes.
She talked about the stepping stones.
Mm-hmm.
So for everyone, what that means is you take an old shitty. Okay. Give me an example, Karen.
Oh, well, the current one I'm dealing with is I'm not working hard enough at the gym.
I'm not working hard enough. All right. We're going to leave off at the gym because I bet this applies to a lot of people. I'm not working hard enough.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So does it feel like a stretch to go, oh, Karen, of course you're working hard enough at the gym. Look at what you're lifting now. How does it, when
responses,
you
say, but yeah, but look at what I can't do.
Yeah, but right. Yes. Mm-hmm. So to go straight to, I'm amazing at the gym, not going to happen. Right?
No. And it, but the thing is, like, I'm relying on my trainer to tell me that I did good, even though I know I gave it everything I had.
Well, okay. So, oh, I got to write that one down. I gave it everything I had. So sometimes we have to borrow belief from someone else. I did this, oh my gosh, for months, years, as I was becoming a coach, as I was losing my weight. I would think, if Corinne believes in me, I must be okay.
Yep.
I would think, well, she hasn't fired me, so I must be doing all right. I would think, she's scheduling me for calls. I must be a good coach. So there is some of that you can borrow belief from your trainer in order to propel you forward. So I don't want to discount that, you know, that it does help us. Outside validation does help us. It's something we need to hear sometimes. But it is our responsibility to create those thoughts within ourselves as well. So for you, here's where I would start. I would start with these stepping stones. All right. I notice I'm thinking I'm not working hard enough. Okay. Think about how that takes the temperature down on I'm not working hard enough. So if you just think I'm not working hard enough at the gym, how does that feel? What feeling comes up?
If I say I'm not working hard enough, I feel frustrated and I feel like a failure.
Exactly.
But when you and say, then it goes to the, even though I know that's not true, but it's the stronger primary part.
Exactly. But when you say, when you follow that with, wait, I notice I'm thinking I'm not working hard enough at the gym. What kind of feeling does that bring in?
The first thought is to give all the reasons why I am.
Okay. So
it's more like arguing back to that I noticed that and wanting to say, well, here's why you're noticing that and you're wrong.
Okay, so it does take the temperature down and it kind of turns it. What it does is it tells your brain that that's a thought, that's not a fact. Okay, your brain, when you say, I'm not working hard enough at the gym, your brain is like all in. That's the facts, Karen. You're a loser. You're not doing it. You're failing, blah, 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 whatever it is, right? But when you, I notice I'm thinking on the front end of that thought, it identifies it as a thought and it makes you curious about it, right? Makes you think about, well, maybe.
And a gentler,
Yes.
because even when I say, I think I'm not doing enough. I like yesterday, there were things that I really struggled with. And logically, I know that so would anyone else. They were hard. But finding that inner voice to say, be proud of yourself because what you did was hard and you gave it your best.
So does that voice seem more realistic after you say, look, I notice I'm thinking I didn't work hard enough today?
Yeah, that's better.
The other thing you can do is you can add a but to the end of, you can slap a but on the end of not working hard enough, right? And you can say, I'm not working hard enough, but I gave it everything I had. See how that turns it a little bit too. If you just leave, I'm not working hard enough out in the universe, your brain's going to prove it true. Okay. But
I
if you
think that's my issue is figuring out how to turn those initial statements into something I can have that internal discussion with.
And then I would put it in my journal too. Are you a journaler?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I notice I'm thinking I'm not working hard enough, or I'm not working hard enough, but I did give it everything I had. You can journal about what did you do? When you end that sentence that way, it's going to be like, well, he wanted me to lift, he wanted me to bench press 100. I got to 85. Dang, last week I was at 60. You see what I'm saying? It sort of opened your brain up to look at what else is possible. And that helps you create those feelings inside of yourself of maybe I am doing okay. Accomplishments.
Yeah, because I guess, I mean, as much as I appreciate the validation from other people, I don't want to depend solely on that.
Right. I love that. I love that you don't. That means you're ready to start figuring out ways to create it within yourself. But just like the other person I was talking to, you're not going to be able to go from, I'm not working hard enough at the gym to sunshine and daisies. You're going to have to wiggle your way
Yeah.
into it.
I mean, it took me about 14 months before I could say, I love myself. So I know it's a slow progress. It's just, it's all of that. If somebody says, I've done a good job with this, and it's like, oh, I'm good. And I've identified it's a lifelong thing, it's not getting any validation growing up. And that it's also only relevant with people that I like, love, or respect. When the geezer at the gym says stupid stuff, it doesn't faze me at all. Because I don't care. He can go pound rocks. Even if he says I do a good job, it's still like, thanks, whatever.
Right, because you don't trust his opinion. You don't know him well enough to trust his opinion. And
No.
okay. I mean, you don't have to, but you're
No,
right.
but
Being able to work your way into validating yourself at least part of the time only increases your capacity to care about yourself.
this
Okay.
gave me some direction, and I still want your soft, polite Southern voice in my head.
Well, anytime, my friend, anytime. And thank you again for subbing in for that call on Wednesday. That
Oh,
was,
that was such a blast.
yeah. I love doing those calls. I love doing what you did on those calls, typing in
Yeah, doing all
the
the
takeaways, because it solidifies it for me. It's really a very
it
cool.
really did. And but I also think that's when I realized part of the validation thing, because I did go, oh, Corinne picked me to do that. She thinks I'm worth it. She trusts me with her baby. And then I went, oh, how come I'm not going, well, of course she picked me.
Well, can you say that now, though? After looking back at it and the work that you
Yeah.
did, and discounting all the millions of comments you got on your post and Facebook, can you look back at it now and go, you know what? I did do a pretty good job at that.
I did do a pretty good job with that. And I went out of my comfort zone to do it. And yeah, I also feel very honored that I was trusted to do that.
So it's a combo. It's a combo gift. You got a little validation from Corinne, and you were able to tell yourself, I really did do a pretty good job at that. I really.
She didn't kick me out, so I didn't suck.
Well, that's back to her. That sounds like my thought, Karen. I hadn't got fired, so I must be okay. Right? And that's okay. It's okay to borrow someone else's belief as long as you practice thinking about that belief yourself. And sometimes you have to do it after the fact in order to go back and say, you know what? It's really okay that I doubted myself, because I'm learning to believe in myself. And I can do that now because I created the evidence that I really can do a good job at this.
Oh, I need that like in a sound loop.
Yeah. Well, good thing this.
Oh, when this comes out, I'm gonna have to figure out how to catch that. And when the thinking goes that way, I am gonna play that.
Yeah. It's really
That's
okay. Our brains don't like change, if you think about it. Our habit centers don't like change. So they're always going to throw doubt at us. Are you sure this is what we want to do? Just like Kathy and her 30 days of no desserts. Are you sure? I don't think so. Go get the Oreos, and then that voice comes up super loud. It's the same thing in our thinking. If you have spent, oh, I don't know, 40, 50 years thinking, not thinking about how to care about yourself, or believing the authority figures and what they were saying, that's all in that habit loop. So when you try and change those thoughts, you try and change those actions, anything like that, your brain is going to be, I don't know about this. That's a change. We don't like change. And you have to work your way through it and reassure yourself that it is okay to make those changes.
Yeah, because even now I still, back of the brain is saying, you really trust yourself to judge yourself?
Do you logically answer that with the front part of your brain? Do you trust yourself?
Yeah, I mean, like everybody, I've made some stupid decisions, but for the most part, I'm on top. The good side of stuff. I'm a responsible adult who's not in prison, pay
Right.
my bills, working on owning my house. Yeah, I think I'm
Yeah.
okay.
Here's the thing. We don't have to trust ourselves to get everything perfect. We just have to trust ourselves to show up and to give it a try.
Yeah, for some reason, my brain thinks I'm about a half step up from a serial killer in quality.
That's just old thinking. That's old.
Yeah.
Isn't it in the no BS or breaking diet thinking, old you versus new you thinking? That's just old Karen thinking. And it's your opportunity to wiggle some of those thoughts
Yeah.
with stepping stones. I notice I'm thinking is probably one of the most impactful additions to my crappy thoughts that I have ever experienced. And that's why I always offer it.
Yep, I like that. I notice I'm thinking.
Notice I'm thinking. Yeah. Because it invites a curiosity and it labels it as a thought. That's the big thing. There's a
That's
lot of.
awesome. That's perfect. I'm gonna.
All right. Very good. Very good. Thank you,
Thank
Megan.
you.
All right. And I want everyone. All right. See ya. I want everyone to think about Karen's coaching and these stepping stone thoughts and think about where do your old you thinking, where does it show up for you? Where's the judgment showing up for you? You know, in Karen's coaching, it was showing up at the gym. It may show up in other places too. Who knows? Where's it showing up for you? Is it showing up in your weight loss, in your relationships, in your management of your urges, at work? So how can you take those judgment thoughts, those old you thinking judgment thoughts, and wiggle them just a little bit? Notice them, create some curiosity around them so that you can give yourself the opportunity to think something a little bit differently. How's that sound? Good? Give me a thumbs up. Thumbs up if that sounds okay. All right. I have one question in the Q&A from Mary. She says, she's asking me about the five core pillars I mentioned. What do you mean by nutrition? I'm trying not to eat. What that basically points to, Mary, is good, better, best. Okay. You're trying not to eat. You're trying to eat when you're hungry. I hope you mean you're trying to eat when you're hungry and stop at enough. So what I want you to think about is, are the foods that I'm eating agreeing with my body? Do they feel good in my body? So I will give you an example. I love grapes. I could eat a mountain of grapes. All right. What do too many grapes do to you? They send you to the bathroom a lot, right? Well, I don't want to go to the bathroom all day long. So I monitor the number of grapes I eat. That's a good food, but I don't overeat grapes. I don't eat them all day long. So that's basically, nutrition is individual for everyone. It's what foods feel really good in your body, give you energy, digest easily, keep you satisfied, and how can you like really tune in on that? You tune in on that with assessments, right? With how did I feel today when I ate these things? If you lost a pound this week, you might go back and look at what did I eat? What were my habits? How, you know, what foods really promoted weight loss for me? What did I not eat? That kind of thing. Does that make sense, Mary? All right. Anything else? Any other questions? If there are none, let's see. Ruth says, thank you. This helped me. Hit me in the chat or in the Q&A if you got anything else. If not, I will leave you to the rest of your Saturday. I do love spending time with you guys. So thank you for coming. And you can always find me in the Ask Coaches. You can find me in the Facebook group. Just give me a tag and I will do what I can for you. Okay. All right. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.